This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We're glad you're here with us this afternoon. It's a beautiful day out there. When I was in Florida this past weekend, it was mid-80s. The feels-like temperature got maybe a couple days into the very low 90s. Oh, so
hot.
Great.
Oh, really? That's right. You like it hot.
We're going to talk about it a little bit later because I asked Ethan. I said, have you ever been in the conversation here in the studio when we talked about our perfect temperatures? And he's like, no. I said, well, think. He goes, I already know what the perfect temperature is. I said, well, hold on to that. So we'll discuss perfect temperatures here in a minute. But I want to get to our next guest. I'm excited to have Kristen Neal on with us. She's the president and CEO of Greenway Therapy. If you go online to begintalking.com, it's a St. Louis company here, St. Louis business. She's a licensed professional counselor. Kristen, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here with us today. It's great to have you.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So we had a conversation last week, and I was learning a little bit about you and how you have formulated kind of what I would consider to be, first of all, very interesting to me as somebody, a lot of people know who I am here and how I operate my life. But therapy is a place where you need to be able to go. You need to have a trusting relationship with the therapist, and you need to know that you're going there to get actual help. Kristen Neal, why don't you talk to us a little bit about Greenway Therapy and how you guys take an approach that might be a little bit different than what people might have in their mind about therapy?
Yeah, so a lot of people think that, you know, I want to go to therapy and I want to find a therapist that's understanding and empathetic, and that's kind of a given, I think, when you're looking for a therapist. But I like to look at it from a deeper perspective. And when I'm personally looking for a therapist, I want a therapist to provide a safe space, but that safe space needs to include a balanced person to have a discussion with.
Yeah.
And that's not always a guarantee.
So when, you know, politics certainly has, I would say there's a lot of people seeking out therapy right now, and I don't know if you have like specific statistics on how therapy has grown or ebbed and flowed over time, but I feel like, just as a civilian out here talking to people, that more and more people are encouraging one another to be open and honest about their traumas or intrusive thoughts, like these things that I kind of think of as therapy language, is something that's kind of part of the common vernacular. Is that a healthy thing that society is embracing, kind of an introspective way of talking socially, casually?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't have any statistics, just so you know, but definitely people utilizing therapy is on the rise for sure. And the therapeutic vernacular is definitely being used more often, and it's a double-sided coin. On one hand, it's good that there's increased awareness around mental health issues, because then there's more acceptance and it's easier for people to get help. On the other hand, people are pathologizing a lot of just normal life stuff that they don't need to. And it actually makes them sicker when they do that.
Well, I want to drill down on that a little bit. We're speaking with Kristen Neal of Greenway Therapy. You can go to begintalking.com to learn more. I feel like from the outside looking in, it looks like people are aggrandizing their struggles. Like all of a sudden our struggles are the best thing about ourselves and we champion our struggles. And I'm sitting here thinking like, I would really like to have zero struggles. I don't really want to champion them. I want to get rid of them. What's your experience in that?
Yeah, I would say struggles aren't unique. Like the human experience isn't really unique from person to person, which sounds horrible for a therapist to say, but I mean, we're all experiencing a lot of the same stuff, and it's great to talk about it, but, you know, the goal is to not live in it. And oftentimes when people are utilizing therapy, the therapeutic process that they're engaging in is actually more of the problem. They're allowed through working with their therapist to continuously complain and vent. And actually, I was talking about a client today and how he's come a long way. And he's like, you know, venting all the time about your problems is not how you get better. It's how you stay the same. And so you have to make actual changes in your life and start to think to yourself, like, so what's good today? What is, even if something's bad, even if something really bad is happening, what's good today? And if it's just that there's oxygen in the air and the world is turning, you know, that's where you start.
Oh, I love that. What's good today? That's not the trendy way to approach life.
No, it's not.
Which is really kind of weird to say that. Let me ask you this. We're speaking with President and CEO of Greenway Therapy, Kristen Neal. She's a licensed professional counselor. Are there people in your industry, are there places where people who are having these struggles, they feel are very, like you said, very unique to themselves, they're living this experience that is just so unique to their one lived experience. Are there therapists out there that look at that as an opportunity that maybe doesn't benefit in the long run, the patient that they're seeing? Like, do you have conflict with people the way therapy is provided?
So, like, are you asking me if therapists look at people as an opportunity to, like, make money off of them?
Well, I mean, maybe in the most basic sense, but are there people who will identify things that maybe I would non-clinically, because I don't have any degrees in this, look at something and be like, that seems like a problem. And then you could go into therapy, and depending on the therapist, you might get somebody who goes, oh, this is so good to talk to you. Talk to me more about this. Let me understand. Let me help you with this new thing.
Yeah, totally. I mean, therapists have quite the reputation for making problems that aren't really big problems into bigger problems and, you know, keep you in therapy longer and longer for sure. Because, you know, it's kind of like a therapist's nature to like peel back the layers of the onion, so to speak. And that's right back to balance. It's why you need to find a therapist that is balanced in their perspective. And, you know, when you are out of balance yourself, that's kind of hard to discern. So it's tough. You know, when I pick a therapist for myself, they come by referral, and they're always a person that I know is not going to take my, you know, isn't going to let me believe my own lies about the world, you know, because I'm trying to change things, not live in it more. So I want somebody that's going to push back on my belief systems and tell me that, you know, this thing that you think is a huge problem, it really isn't. And you're dwelling in this needlessly.
Kristen, this is Ryan. Because of the way that society has approached these things, which we were just talking about a second ago, I get the sense that there are a lot of people, maybe even listening to us, who are so inverse of that. They're so over the way the society has moved toward making everything about yourself and about your traumas that they may actually need therapy, and they're going, but I don't want to be a part of that culture, you know? So I think that this conversation is important because of that very thing. But what is it that people come to you with? I mean, why do people seek you out? Maybe who are a part of that going, I don't really think I need therapy, but maybe I just want to talk about this thing.
So breakups are a common common theme, you know, where they're not, they don't need like deep psychiatric help, but they had a breakup and it's like, I need help thinking this out. And I do a lot of that kind of therapy. I need help thinking this out kind of therapy. I'm happy to do that. I think it's more of a consultation relationship in that realm. And human beings are by nature, we revolve around our relationships. And sometimes you don't want to talk to your mom or your dad or your friend. You want to talk to somebody who understands humanity in a different way, and you want to go consult on it. And that's totally fine. But mm-hmm. that you're not going to find yourself in therapy for years and years and years. You're going to go and you're going to say, I'm having trouble getting over this. And, you know, I just need to chat about it. And then you move on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I like.
Trust
about
in
this.
A good mechanic.
Yeah, exactly. President, President and CEO of Greenway Therapy. You can go to begintalking.com. We're speaking with Kristen Neal. Some comments on our YouTube live chat came up about this. I'm going to reword some of them. Some people commented about TDS. My question to you is, how often do politics come up in your conversations with your clients?
Oh my gosh, politics. Politics are coming up more and more often, especially in couples therapy. But it started like through COVID. It was like super intense, and like people were breaking up over the COVID shot and things like that. Like ending marriages over a disagreement about the COVID shot, which was unbelievable to me. I would never consider something like that. But it comes up quite a bit, especially with couples, and you know everybody. Or not everybody. There are a lot of people having reactions to Elon Musk and this and that, and these conversations are coming up, and conversations about politics and therapy are just like any other contextual thing that comes up. It could be a sock, it could be your car's dirty, it could be parenting, it could be Elon Musk, but it's all rooted in the same stuff, which is deeper feelings about trust and safety and belongingness. It's not really about the politics, and a good therapist is going to recognize that and not get sucked into who's more right conversation.
I mean, it's hard to find anybody who doesn't have an opinion. You know, some opinions are going to be stronger than others, but most people who are paying any attention whatsoever are going to have an opinion on Donald Trump. They're going to have an opinion on Kamala Harris. They're going to have an opinion on Elon Musk. I would think it would be very difficult as a therapist to have those opinions. And then if you've got a couple sitting in front of you and one of them thinks that the president of the United States is the great Satan and the other one is like sitting there smiling with their MAGA hat on, I would think it would be hard for therapists to sit in there and be this complete and totally objective third party to navigate that. How do you go about doing that with your own internal thoughts that you're naturally going to have?
Yeah. So the way you do that is that's not the issue anyway. You know, that the politics aren't the issue. You figure out, like, my job is to figure out what is really going on here and teach you how to do that, too, so that you don't need me forever. And what is really going on here, it's not really about the politics. It's about belief systems that are ignited by politics. And once we start talking about what's really going on, which is the belief systems, we're not talking about politics anymore. You see?
Yeah. I mean, there are things, I'm trying to think of anything in particular. There are things that my husband is probably super into that I want to have nothing to do with, but I don't utilize those things as a way to pick on my husband. So, I guess the politics thing is inflamed even more. People are so passionate about it. But it's sad to hear that there were like marriages ending over the COVID vaccine. That does make me sad to hear that.
I think it's really unfortunate. And, you know, if your marriage ends over COVID vaccine, I think that really speaks to the bond not being very strong anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to give you the opportunity, Kristen, to talk a little bit about what kind of clients do you see? What kind of work do you do at Greenway Therapy? In case anyone's out there, because I'll just say for me particularly, if I were going to go sit down and engage in therapy for whatever particular thing or recommend it to people, I would want to know that I was placing myself or my friends or my family in the hands of somebody who they could trust to do the job the right way. I think that's an important part of the business. Tell us how you go about it at Greenway.
Yeah. So I'll tell you, first of all, what we don't do. We don't prescribe meds and we don't do psychiatric care. You know, we're not working with schizophrenia. We have some bipolar clients, but we're not working with them on, you know, keeping those kind of symptoms in check directly. And oftentimes people misunderstand what, like as a consumer, what they need. So we are not doctors. We are a private pay group practice. And we work with all sorts of clients, you know, the general anxiety and depression and breakups and people going through divorce. That's how we advertise, but we end up with all sorts of issues in our office. Like I've got a guy that works for me. His name's Larry Marshall. He works with people that struggle with addiction. So we do about everything in the realm of normal life stuff. I personally like to work with like high performing people, like executives and you know, entrepreneurs and those types of people. They're typically very anxious and very logical, and I work well with those types of personalities. It's a lot of fun for me, and it's not like, again, like deep psychiatric work. It's more of a consultation process on how do I stop being so neurotic? How can I calm myself down? How can my marriage get better while I'm still high performing and running a business? So
do those people,
those are my favorite clients.
Do those people who are high performing people, I wonder how many of them come into you and they can like completely explain the problem.
Oh, they
can't. And they don't, they just don't know how to get out of the loop.
Yeah, they can't completely explain the problem. So that's my job to help them understand like what's really going on here. They come to me frazzled. The most successful people come to me totally frazzled, like help. They're just like, help. I just don't know. And I take some history and get to know their patterns and we're able to get to a resolution pretty quickly. If they cooperate with me, you know, some people
they really want to be helped.
Don't.
Yeah.
You know, some people that really want to make change will get after it, you know, and I can explain things in a way that they can understand and appreciate. So
you work with marriages, you work with relationships. I think it's important that you talk about relationships because I think society right now doesn't really value relationships at all. It seems to me they don't prioritize it because it seems like society collectively is like, whatever's good for you, you do that. And that's not really a way to healthy relationship, I would assume.
No, it's not. It is really sad. We've become like overly individualistic, you know, like your spirit and soul or whatever is special, but like we exist in us humans exist in the context of relationships. We need each other.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't champion that as much as we should collectively in our culture today.
No, we don't.
Well, Krista Neal, it's a pleasure to have you on. I'd like to have you come back on and maybe we can potentially take some questions from listeners through our YouTube chat and kind of work through this. I think it's a healthy way to go about things. And I love your approach and I love what you do at Greenway Therapy. People can go to begintalking.com and learn more about you. So, Kristen, thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, we'll do it again soon. Bye-bye. Okay, I like it. I've had some conversations with her from a show. I've never gone to have therapy with her before. I'm kind of interested in the possibility of doing it. But when they talk about relationships is the most like fundamental thing to like everything else kind of comes after. How do you handle relationships? What are the most important relationships you had in your life that have gone well, that have not gone well? Let's talk about that when we come back. Our understanding as a community, as a broad community, on what relationship is and what we're encouraged to do and what we're discouraged to do. Let's discuss that when we come back. If you've got thoughts, you can leave them on the Annie Fry YouTube chat and let us know. Maybe you've done therapy before and you love it. Maybe you haven't and you wish you did. Maybe you've never done it and you'd like to. Also, the YouTube live chat poll. Do you have a real ID? Yes? No, but you need one? Or no, I don't need one? Let us know in the Annie Fry YouTube live chat. We'll be right back. Where would you say our societal priority is on building good relationships? I don't know how to quantify that, but
that's a tough question, because on one hand, we move too fast to really do it well. On the other, it's something people talk about doing, like, oh yeah, you know, it is a trend to say, yeah, you really got to focus on your relationships, but nobody's doing it right or well.
You know, when you see Drew Barrymore, and, you know, we talk about Drew Barrymore on the show more than we should, but that's just because the TV is still on whatever channel 4, whatever Mark Cox watches in the morning for local news, it's on here. And I think about her, like the whole Drew Barrymore approach. If you haven't seen her show, and I'm sure many of you haven't, the chances of you maybe being aware of her style is a little bit more likely, but she sits nose to nose with people. That's almost not an exaggeration. And it's just this, like, it's all about connection. I don't want to connect with people like that.
It's so funny you say that, because I'm the exact opposite. She does drive me crazy because there's a little bit of a performance to it. It's TV,
I kind of believe her, though.
I do, too. That's what I'm saying, is that when you meet somebody who is like that, they're just very earthy, and
it's not bad. I'm just not like that.
Yeah, and I like those kind of people. I think I'm saying that because my wife is kind of like that. She's not Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, she is.
But she's got some of those qualities, and it's one of the things that attracted me to her.
Well, I would say too that those qualities are, I think that I'm self-aware enough to know that I'm envious of people who have those qualities and very aware that I don't have those qualities. So I know who I am. It's not like it's like, oh, Annie, just be like that. No, that's not happening. But I'm not going to say their names on here, but there are people in my life who I've just found these people. They found me almost in my life. I had a college roommate who was absolutely like this. Katie Fitzpatrick on the show was very much like that.
Yeah.
It's just like, and a few others that I've worked with or known with, they're just this extra kind of joyful, super extroverted, feed off of other people and other people feed off of them. And I love being around those people, but I am not those people. There's a difference too in, there's a vulnerability that comes with that I think that's really where I am not interested in dipping my toe in. That you have to be able to be vulnerable to have relationships with people. Mm-hmm. I feel like we, as elder millennials, all of us being in our early 40s, there's still kind of this resilience that we grew up with, especially the first half of our life, where you were not doted on as a child. There were expectations that just were for how you were going to grow up. The internet came to be an actual factor in our life, not until probably college age. You could email in high school, but I mean, you didn't even know, like, what do you email?
Yeah, I remember doing goofy stuff online in high school, but it was like a novelty.
But it wasn't, I mean, like, to think about ripping the internet out of your life right now, it's not even possible.
Yeah.
But we were formed in a world before that. We were entertained by it for a few years while it came of age. And now there's just this, I mean, even social media, we have never been so aware of details of so many people's lives, and yet so much more detached from an actual human to human, on an actual human to human level than we are right now. And I think that's sad. I think about that a lot as a parent who has a child who's 15 and a child who's 3. There's a wide span of time in between there. But I think about how much of my time right now is dedicated to just doing what my kids need me to do. And my husband and I, like, we kind of go through these phases. I don't know if you guys do this, where it's like you just kind of look at each other and you're like, we're just basically running a family business here and passing each other along the way. And it's like, oh, hey, I remember you. And then you got to do something about that. You got to go somewhere. You got to prioritize that. You probably should have done it before you get to the point where you're like, when was the last time you and I had a conversation that had anything to do with other than work and kids? But when it comes to teaching our kids how to build relationships, it's a very difficult thing to do. My older two have phones and the ability to text, but they don't have social media. And it's an isolating thing for them. They want it really bad. And I feel like as a parent, I know that that's not what's best for them, but I want them to have it too. I just want them to have it and use it in a appropriate way or not get pulled into something that's inappropriate. And I just don't trust the system. But then I'm like, how do you, I can't put my children in a position to build meaningful relationships when that's not how the world functions. And then I look at myself and I'm like, I don't know that I'm really fully investing myself in building meaningful relationships right now. Is that?
Well, you said
this feels like therapy.
Well, but what you said a line there, teaching my kids to have good relationships,
meaningful
relationships. I've never, when you said it, I thought, I don't know that I've ever had a conversation with my kids about what a good relationship looks like. It probably has happened in passing without me realizing it.
Certainly model it.
But that, yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that I think we try to model it more than talk about it.
But I also think that the unique position that we specifically are as 40-somethings, we are raising our children in a world that we did not grow up in.
It's different.
It's very different.
Even the way people meet their spouse is different now.
Yeah. You remember NSYNC's Digital Get Down? Digital Get Down. That was like ironically funny. Most relationships now are forged through, I would venture to say 90%+ of relationships exist because of the internet. So, I mean, whether you met on Match.com or you know somebody, but you're, of course, going to look them up on social media. You're going to do every bit of research, at least women do. I don't know if men do it as much, but you're going to do the research that you can, and then you're going to communicate digitally and grow your relationship that way. That is a different thing than physically, like, if you're in a marriage and you're living with somebody and you're, like, in the same space as another human that has equal rights to the space that you're in, you have to know how to have human relationships. And I don't think that our children are learning those things, and it's a difficult thing to teach them because you have to have willing participants, and most kids are digital.
Why do you think they're not learning them? Because of the fact that you're just talking to people in fake ways now?
Well, it's not, it's very real. It's not, it's fake to us, but that's life. That's reality. Like, and that's the struggle I have as a parent, which is I know the benefit of how we were raised and the freedom we had because the internet was not a factor. But that's not reality anymore, and it will never be a reality again. The reality exists with digital communication that is constant. It never, ever stops. It is an addictive service that is, when you're that age, and really all you're craving is validation. Because you just don't, if you're a junior high student, I mean, the more you're pushing out there that you are cool with yourself, the less I believe you.
I don't even care what people think of me, and I'm going to say it all the time.
Yeah, just to remind
you. I don't believe you.
Once again, I'm like, okay. there are people that I know, and I can think about this growing up, but I can also, you know, that there are some kids who are just kind of have a chill about them. And I admire it. There's a maturity about them that isn't in a constant need for attention. And I know people in my life growing up who had a constant, they were just programmed to seek out attention, and people, like, I enjoyed being around them while they were getting the attention and being in that orbit, but not having to be that person. So it's not a negative thing. It can be a negative thing, but it can certainly be a positive thing as well. But in a digital world where everything we communicate, like, I seriously can't, I've talked about this before. When I leave a voicemail for somebody, it's 50-50 that I'm going to vocalize the punctuation in the book. And I don't leave very many voicemails for that purpose.
Fee, fi, fo, fum, exclamation point.
That was actually me. It's just weird to think, if you put kids in a room and took away their phones. I remember one time my son had his baseball team. It was the majority of his baseball team came over. I think they were in like seventh grade, and they had a sleepover, and we got them food, and then they came up at like 11:30. They're like, we're hungry. So we ordered pizza and we sent it down there. But they were seventh grade, so they weren't as connected to their phones as they might be now, 15 years old. but they pretty much put their phones away. They turned all the lights off in the basement, and they played hide and seek downstairs in the basement. It was it's pitch dark down there for like
four or five hours,
and you would hear nothing, and then you'd hear. And they'd scream in a super high pitched voice, but they were just basically like you could hide anywhere because you couldn't see anything. And I mean, I think Jared and I stayed up till like 3 or 4 a.m. because we just wanted to make sure that like nobody got hurt or whatever. But they were having the most fun, and it was heartwarming to hear them interacting with one another instead of sitting there just and you know, I don't have a problem with video games and phones and texting. It's just how do you use them in a healthy way? We've grown up, life and time will always have like mom issues, dad issues, marriage issues, like all of these relationships that we're in are always going to have issues, and sometimes they're going to be more challenging than others. But I kind of wonder in 20-30 years, these kids that grew up communicating not in a human to human way, in a digital way, you can't do that when the relationships get as close as marriages and children and all of that stuff. You have to know how to talk to people.
Yeah.
And we don't really prioritize that.
There's going to be a generation that doesn't have a whole lot of confidence in their ability to have relationships. We may be in that generation now, and it's going to show up in weird ways, where kids who were brought up with a little bit more boundaries and were taught, you know, that your relationships, your life isn't lived entirely online, are going to have a leg up in this area, in relationships
and in work and in business.
One of the things we teach our kids is when you talk to somebody, especially an adult, because the kids will talk to each other, make eye contact. Mm. And they do. You know, they're not great at it. They're perfect, but they do. And adults will say, oh, thank you. You know, they may not say thank you for the eye contact, but they'll say, oh, you're thank you for listening. You can just tell that there's something different there. And it's something that it takes a lot of work, but I know that it's going to pay off. Long term.
Yeah. I just hope that our kids learn how to. It's funny to me. It's like I can teach them how to talk to other people, but if nobody else knows how to do it, I don't know if it really matters. You know?
Well, if your kid's the one going, no, eyes right here, eyes right here.
Yeah, that's going to be real good for them.
They're the dominant one in the conversation.
What if they're not talking to anybody?
Well, if they're talking to a wall.
What if they're like, the other person's like, no.
If they're saying these things and there's not another person, yeah, there's other issues.
I just know that. The social media question, the phone question, the relationship question, middle school sucks just in general. High school can suck. It can be less challenging for some people, but it still can be a very difficult time. I feel like right now the kids growing up this way are experiments because we don't know. We don't know what these problems are going to look like. And I guess they'll grow up and they'll have the problems they have, and we'll have a whole different set of circumstances for kids, for my grandkids. And then is that just the cycle of time? I don't know. I'm always trying to figure it out. I haven't done it yet. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this. Do you have a real ID? Yes? No, and you need one, or no, and you don't need one. I went to go get my real ID yesterday. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And, well, let's just get to it when we return. Go to the Annie Fry YouTube live chat. If you go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, just type in F-R-E-Y, Annie Fry, and you'll see that we're broadcasting live. You got to vote while the video is still live, so you got to get there and hurry now because we're on for another 15 minutes. We'll be right back.
This is...
Do you know this song?
Yes, I can't place
it. Just wait for it. I love this song, and every time I see it on a list of my bump music, I'm like, what is this? I don't even know what this is. And then it hits, and I'm like, in full-on music video mode. No, but that sounds, that could go. Do you know the song? Did you know it?
Nope.
This is way before Ethan's time.
I still don't know it.
I know, that's what I love about it. It's sneaky.
I like the beat. Very time period.
Not yet?
No.
Do you know, Brad?
I have it in front of me, but I
know,
I don't recognize
do you,
it.
Do you, based on the words, do you know the... Mm-hmm. Libby likes it. While we're listening until it hits. Do you have a real ID? I went and got mine yesterday. Here we go. Soon. No, I lied. It's still first. There's still four minutes of the song
And this
left.
Is where Ryan would say, and we'll be back.
Yeah, exactly. We build it all the way up to here and be like, oh, never mind. Let's scrap it.
I still don't know this song.
Nothing.
You don't know the song?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I recognize it.
This is like get in your convertible and drive down the PCH while you're crying with this while you're wearing a scarf. In the wow. 80s with like a hazy filter on the camera.
That's why.
I mean, you got the shot.
Yeah,
right
I know. I thought about it. That's what I do, except for I just drive next to the bluffs to Grafton.
I think I ruined that
song. And everyone's
song.
Like, gosh, there she goes again.
The whole time I'm listening to it, I'm going, just who do you know?
That's a different one.
Who do you love?
I don't know why the 80s just seems so theatrical. Like
they were theatrical.
Very film-oriented. It seemed like a lot of the songs were big songs because they were connected to something Hollywood.
It's weird because if you watch an average movie from the 60s or 70s, I'm not talking about the best of the best, the ones that still survive, but just some average movie, they're really not made well. They're kind of crappy. And then you get to the 80s and it's like they figured out the formula.
Have you seen both Top Guns?
Now I have, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Which is the better Top Gun?
Oh, wait. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I have
my
not
gosh.
Seen
he did it again.
You're right.
He did it again.
After you said it, I'm like, well, of course I've seen the second Top Gun. Oh, wait. No, I've still never seen the first one.
You go home.
I will.
Go to Chicago.
I'm going to Chicago right after
get
this to go
here.
See my favorite band.
Ethan, which is the better Top Gun? Especially because you probably didn't
I've
see
I've only
the...
seen both of them once, but I really enjoyed the second one a lot more than I thought I would. I would probably say that one.
Brad?
I'm going to go with the first one because the second one doesn't work without the first one. All the nostalgia of the second one is from the first one.
I think the second one is so much better than the first one. Sacrilegious to my husband. He just adores Top Gun. But Top Gun, the original Top Gun is such a good movie and it's such a good story, which kind of to what Brad's saying, the idea of storytelling and movie making, Tom Cruise has stuck to that. Mm-hmm. And he seems like one of the rare people who's like, I'm going to make the best movies that I possibly can, tell the best stories that I possibly can, and be the best characters that I possibly can. And everyone else is like, imagine all the people. And you're like, no, I don't want to do that. Go be a character that I can't imagine seeing in my real life that I have to see on the silver screen. I think the songs, though, of the 80s really, I don't know, maybe it's just what stuck. 30 years, 40, gosh dang it, 40 years later. It's terrible.
Yes, it is.
Do you have a real ID?
Yes.
And you didn't, did you honestly not know that when we...
I still don't even remember getting it. I looked at my ID and it has the star on it, so
Brad,
I must have gotten it.
I have it, yeah.
When did you get it?
Mine expires this year, so 4 or 5 years ago.
Ethan?
I do not have a real ID yet.
So as of May 7th, you cannot fly without a real ID. It doesn't even matter if it's domestically. If you have a passport, do you have a passport?
Yes.
Passports will count. So I think the real ID is the biggest deal for travel, flight travel. But a passport, you'd be able to board a plane with a passport if you don't have a real ID.
But even in country, you'd have to have your passport.
Yes. Which is a detail that people are going to need to know. This is going to be an absolute disaster when it gets implemented, because people have been talking about real ID for so long and it kept getting pushed aside for so long that I am one of them was like, oh my gosh, I am flying at the end of May. We're taking our Hawaii trip in honor of my parents' 50th wedding anniversary, a family trip. Very excited about it. But I need to get this. I just flew this past weekend after May 7th. I need to have a real ID. So I go to get this real ID yesterday, went to the Bethalto DMV. In Ethan's old stomping ground. Yes.
You were working. My mom works in the salon that is right next to that DMV.
In the salon? Okay.
It's in the same exact building.
I know. I saw it. It's something Brands.
Total Image Salon.
I wasn't close.
The way you said salon sounded almost like slums. I thought,
salon.
That's a weird thing to say.
Salon.
When I went to, I had a huge stack of papers. I couldn't find my social security card. And they're like, you can bring a pay stub. They listed a whole bunch of things. Nobody prints the social security number out anymore. And I'm talking about years back. My W-2s don't have my social security number on them. I had to go back. So I went there and I presented everything. I brought my tax returns with my W-2s because my tax returns have my Social Security number on it, signed by the person who processed them at Tom Erland Law. And I brought my W-2s that matched it. I'm like, here. And they're like, doesn't count. Wouldn't take it. So I had to go home. I had to get a W-2 from 2017 to show them. And I, behind me in line, probably 12 parties of people who had no idea what they needed to do, but were there to have it.
At least it was a party.
Why does the government require you to have 5 pieces of identification to get a state ID and tell you you have to have it to fly? Why do they do that?
Can never be too safe, Annie.
Oh my gosh. Give us the results of the poll.
289 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll. Do you have real ID? An overwhelming 66% say yes, 18% say no, they don't need one, and then the final 16% say no, but they do need one.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. Get on it if you need it. Be patient. The people at the Basalta DMV were very nice. I might add that. All right, keep it here. Mark Reardon next.